This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Steve and G boys, Shallow Jake and Chipmunk Baby Amir, the internet sensations of the eponymous web show, who record a podcast weekly without fail, and have bit parts on TV, and have their own production business. No matter what, they'll always be best friends. They'll always be best friends.
Situation so sticky and it's killing me inside, and so I pose my question. I'll listen to your answers even though you're joking most of the time, like killing myself in Starbucks. I know I shouldn't do it, but if I did my problem would subside, but that's really bad advice. Please spend some time on me, I don't think I can seize the cheese alone.
If I were you,
please spend some time on me, I don't think I can seize the cheese alone.
If I were you.
Wow.
Wow, you played a full 2-minute song for our guest.
Beautiful.
2.5.
And that's the end of the show. We got to go.
Yeah, of course. That makes sense. That was more than all of your time.
I was holding up a lighter the whole time. That was beautiful.
It got very hot.
Matt and Jake from corporate. Jake and Matt?
Yeah.
Jake and Matt.
Oh, usually it's Matt and Jake, even though that's in reverse alphabetical order.
But I'm more important.
He's taller. So, yeah. He's more affable.
Yeah, you go by height. That's what we do in our thing,
I think
too.
So.
I'm an inch taller than Amir.
Yeah.
Well, half an inch, but yeah. Not really.
How tall are you guys? I'm 5'11" 3/4", so I never made it
that
to 6 feet.
That might be very close to me. I'm in between 5'11 and 6 feet.
Yeah. Do you lie and say 6?
Depends on who's asking, brother. But yes, I'll say 6'4".
Well, you just said your real height on the podcast to all of our
listeners. Well, technically, if we're getting like scientific, I'm 5'5". Yeah, but like with shoes, socks, plus like rounding up.
Yeah,
and, like,
plus the
with your platforms.
Yeah.
Let's get scientific. About
Matt, what are you at? 6'3"? Are you a
6'3"? 6'4".
Oh, 6'4".
Sorry.
Perfect height.
Oops. Yeah.
6'4 is the goat height, right?
It is.
Would you give yourself an
any
inch?
Taller is bad.
Yeah.
Unless you're playing basketball. Because like I barely fit into planes. I even on my Instagram post photos of myself in airplane bathrooms because I can't stand up right.
Yeah, I can barely fit.
Truly horrifying in airplane bathrooms as a man standing up, right? I should sit down, but every time I'm like, let's roll the dice and see what happens.
You taking shits on airplanes? Have you ever taken a nice shit on an airplane? Just a really small toilet you can barely wipe.
Yeah, I shit on airplanes all the time.
Good man.
I won't do it.
It took me a long time. I didn't do it till I was like maybe I didn't do it till I was 30.
That's cool.
It's kind of like an adult move.
Yeah. Only adults can shit on airplanes.
When I'm a grown up, I'm like, I have to go and it hurts my stomach.
That's like your rabbi sits you down. It's like, it's now time.
You're a man now. Double bar mitzvah time.
That is what the Mile High Club is, right?
Yeah.
First person to take a shit on
an airplane. Fill the bowl.
Oh, my God. That is a thing, too. There's no water in the bowl. Yeah, it's a dry bowl.
It's a horrible situation. We should stop talking about this. We've upset everyone.
We did introduce you guys.
Yeah, but not the song. The song was written by Rob. It was obviously an I Miss You by Blink-182 parody. You guys Blink fans?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've listened to that song probably 1,000 times
Yeah.
Over the course of 3 months, sophomore year of high school.
Are you guys roughly our same age? How old are you guys?
I'm 35, 31.
Okay. Oh, okay. And yeah. So Jake and I are in between those two.
Okay.
Well, I'm 39, 5'4". yeah, we're big into Blink. Is Tom a good singer? Like, he has a very distinct voice, but would you say he's a good singer?
I would not.
You would say he's a bad singer?
I think he's the kind of guy who got, like, kicked out of choir, and so he rebelled. And he's like, fuck you, I'm going to make it anyway.
That's
like, it's
cool.
That kind of thing. Where I feel like there are a lot of singers like that, where, like, Creedence Clearwater Revival, like John Fogerty, like I don't think he has a good voice, but I love it.
Yeah, because it just has to be unique.
That's controversial.
Well, I'm here to fuck shit up.
He's got a voice that you like hearing, whether it's good or not.
Yeah,
like,
it's more about having like an interesting voice.
Yeah,
I feel
like he invented a new way to sing.
Yeah,
is that fair to put on Tom DeLonge? I guess that might be like I don't know who like pioneered that kind of like whiny punk voice.
Hello there.
Yeah.
What the, small things?
But the question is, does he talk like that or is he making a voice? I think we've even discussed this.
I watched like the Blink 182 documentaries. I like I had the Urethra Chronicles on VHS.
Jesus.
And Tom definitely, that's like his talking voice and singing voice.
Oh, really?
Weirdly, like those documentaries are a lot like Making a Murderer. Like, no one has watched them, but they were falsely in prison for years.
Yeah, that's right.
Tom DeLonge.
Yeah, you should watch them. They're fucked up.
All right. So this is If I Were You, an advice show. After all, we do our best to dispense our wisdom. People write us in. They're in sticky situations. Sometimes it's just Jake and I. Now it's Jake and Matt. And Jake and I.
I'm so sorry to have another Jake on the show. It's very kind of you.
I like it. It's nice.
Okay. Two Jakes. Is this the only other Jake that's been on the show? Have we had another Jake?
That's a great question. I don't think we have.
That's cool.
Let's throw it to the fans. Get the callers going.
Shout out in the comments.
Let us know. Yeah. I was trying to find some corporate-related questions.
Ooh.
Shout out to your show, Corporate.
Cool.
Comedy Central. January 15th?
January 15th.
Yes. Season 2.
Yes.
All right. Well, more on that later. But let's get into this right now. This is a guy, we'll give him a fake name to preserve his anonymity. Matt, do you have a fake name to reference this man as?
Ralph.
That's good.
Cool.
Last name?
Ralph. Ralph.
That's cool. Two Ralphs for the
Ralph,
price of one.
Ralph,
just
Ralph.
Like there's two Jakes. Ralph, Ralph, right.
I guess I just reached the limit of my creativity.
I came up with Ralph. What more do you want?
When is season 3?
Like, I have no more ideas, I guess.
Season 3 is just season 2, but everyone's name is Ralph.
That would be brilliant to refilm it.
Who says no? Who would notice? How long would it go before someone noticed? All right, I'm a 23-year-old male, writes Ralph Ralph, who works at a desk job in San Francisco in a department of 8 people. I've been here for 2 years, and the pay is decent. I've made some good friends, and it's in a nice area, and I really want to quit. I got some experience behind a computer doing mindless, dull work, and now I want to move on to bigger and better pastures. I actually want to try my luck at comedy writing, and you two have been big inspirations for me. I plan to wait until next month to quit. It is a good time since it's the start of the new year, and I'm currently waiting on my Christmas bonus. I was nervous about the timing of our department is behind on work right now, and one of my coworkers just went on maternity leave for 5 months. Quitting would leave the department in a bad spot, and I don't want to be a dick. But the other day, I walked by my boss's desk while he was taking a piss, and the dude left his personal email open displaying what appeared to be an email regarding a job application he submitted. I don't want to get caught gawking at his screen, so I took a selfie and made sure that to frame his screen in the background.
What?
So I could sneak off and examine the email in private. Turns out it was a good move because not 10 seconds later, he walked in as I scooted back to my desk. But for some reason, the 2560 by 1080 resolution photo I took from 7 feet away wasn't good enough quality to make out the words on the screen. I tried to zoom in and enhance CSI style, but to no avail. Anyway, I looked freaking good in the selfie I took, so I might post it to the gram. Not sure yet. I started second-guessing myself if the email was in fact a job offer or if I was just jumping to conclusions. I decided I wanted some more evidence. So when he went to lunch, he remembered to lock his computer, so I casually perused his desk for any clues.
Jesus.
Oh my God.
But no luck. Fast forward to the next day, and he emails the department saying he has to step out for an hour. Usually, if he does this, he provides an explanation, like he's going to a doctor's appointment or a lunch. So, on a hunch, I checked the office printer history, and minutes before, he had printed a Word doc titled Resume. The smoking gun.
Oh, my God.
If he leaves our department, it would be devastating. It would be utter chaos. As mediocre as my boss is, he still pulls a ton of weight. With him gone, plus my other coworker on maternity leave, the department would suffer greatly from an onslaught of work. If I tried to quit then, it would be the worst timing imaginable. I would be a dick to all of my coworkers, and I would feel terrible for doing that to them. I'm considering if I should quit sooner than planned to beat him to the punch. It would make me seem like less of an ass while still accomplishing the same outcome, and it would make my boss look bad instead of me. The problem is that I have my holiday bonus still coming up, which would likely forfeit the Christmas party, which I would want to attend, and I'm honestly scared to jump back into the job market and wanted to procrastinate a little bit longer. Another option is that I just take his job, but I vowed to get a new job come January, and I want to actually do something that I can enjoy my life. I want to value my happiness at my job over my salary. So, should I quit before he quits to make him the dick? Should I wait until January to quit, or stay and possibly get a promotion?
Wow.
Thanks for any help.
That was a roller coaster, and I was on his side until he revealed himself to be a psychopath.
which paragraph?
Really? That was crazy person.
That was a manifesto.
Yeah. It seemed like a...
And also the government.
That seemed like a full first or second act of a corporate episode.
Yeah,
the selfie, the enhancing, the checking the printer.
Yeah, I think you would like our show.
Well, I think... The non-funny answer that I would give, that my honest advice would be, the most important part of this is to never take a promotion at a job you definitely don't want. Because then the worst part about that is you get attuned to the new salary. Then you naturally just start buying things a little more loosely, and then you can't live without those things.
Oh, interesting. So is that how people get you?
That's how people get you. That's how you – that like is if you start working in the film industry and you want to be a writer or something, you just start working in a certain department. You start rising up, and then you kind of can't live without that money, and you can't like – go back to a dumb job and just write and try to get your way back in. So I definitely think do not take the promotion. That is the biggest mistake you could do because you don't love it and life will be over before you know it. And so don't waste any time at a job you know you won't love.
This is like the thesis of your show, basically.
Yeah, yes, for sure.
And I would also say don't I mean, it's good that you like the people you work with, but don't ever value the company over yourself.
Yes,
you should not let that factor into the decision, especially it doesn't sound like it's a startup. It's like a department of a bigger company.
Eight people in his department.
Yeah, you can't worry about that at all and should be willing to abandon them at any
point. Try to get – I would say
– That's – it's totally true.
Yeah.
The weirdest part about –
because they would fire you. Like they, right,
they don't value you.
Yeah, they don't care about you.
The weirdest part about that email to me now that I'm thinking about it is he really wants to go to the Christmas party. Like what company Christmas party is worth going to? There are so many open bars if you go on – like, go online. You can find any way to get a drink anywhere. Like, it's so easy. I don't know what the fuck you care about that. But I would honestly wait it out. Get the Christmas bonus, which will give you a few months of rent, I assume.
Yeah, Christmas bonus for sure.
And then, you know, don't get a job that will take your mind away. Get a dumb job that's like for – make the bare minimum to pay rent and then write as much as you possibly can, or perform and write. If you want to write comedy, I would try to move down to LA as well, or maybe the bonus will be your moving costs, or move to New York or something like that. But definitely don't get another job that utilizes your brain at all. Like literally go to Dunkin' Donut, like just literally the stupidest job possible and just
mindless.
Try to write constantly because it takes many years to really learn how to do it well.
Did you guys have shitty desk jobs? Is that the source of your show?
Jake had this mindless job that he's talking about. He worked at a chandelier store.
I quit because I was working as a post-production supervisor because I was failing upwards, kind of, in film. And so I was working these shows, like, for Rescue Me. I was becoming the post-supervisor of that. And I was making so much money, and I was, like, 24, 25. I was like, I don't need this money. I don't do heroin. I don't need it. So it's sort of like, so I quit that job to work at a chandelier store, which was as mindless as they come, to write, you know, to write comedy and to tell jokes at night and stuff like that. So it worked.
That's a very mature thought for a 25-year-old. It's like, I don't need the money. I'm going to take a worse, boring job so to free my mental capacity. But
I think it's the key.
I want to work at a chandelier store.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you, I mean, this is, sounds like a very annoying thing that, what's that guy that Tony Robbins would say, but sometimes you do have to take a step backwards to go for, to go forwards. That's beautiful. So you have to take less money to eventually get more money and is to that, do what you want to do.
But not only that, but you took a, you take a job in a field that you're not interested in.
Oh,
from
no.
A field
I
that you
love
were.
Chandeliers. Oh my God. I'm thinking about them right now. When I look at your faces, all I see are chandeliers.
Why do you think you tried to sell a show so we could buy the chandelier
that's
store?
All I really want. It took as dumb a job as was available, and it was the right decision. I mean, it was very stupid. Like, I retain no knowledge about chandeliers from the 3 years of working there, but it was definitely the right move. And you, again, like, the older you get, and this is pretty serious, but the older you get, the people that are happy, I'm sure you guys see this, are the ones doing what they love for a living. You know, right. I feel like people who aren't doing what they love for a living, pretty universally unhappy.
Yeah.
And so if you
a very large chunk of your life.
It's, in this country,
so
it's
sleep.
It's
so
your like, identity. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Sleep you got to do.
And then if you don't have a job.
We know that.
Right?
Scientists have proven that.
If you don't have a job you like, then often what you'll do to combat that is like drink really heavily on the weekend. So you don't find the time to work to what you want. So you need to like, if you're a comedy writer, you need to find a job you can pretend you're working at and be writing at. Like, you need to, like, fuck the system, basically, and make it work for you, I think.
What was your shitty job, Matt?
I had a bunch of them. I came out here with a degree in marketing and English, so I had jobs in, like, marketing at entertainment companies and copywriting. And I guess I won't say any of the names of the companies because they're all large entertainment companies, but I would hop every 6 months. I would become suicidal at the job and like desperately try to get out of the situation I was in. And I used to, because it's hard when you have a job where you have no power to like get out for an interview, as this guy said where his boss lied. And so I used to just, I have asthma. And so at every single job I got, I would tell them early on that I had asthma. And then... And then when I would need to go out for multiple interviews, I would tell them that I was going to an asthma clinic.
To even get though those things done. Aren't real.
Yeah, there's no such thing as an asthma clinic. Or like one time, it just got pretty cartoonish and silly. Like one time I literally walked into my boss's office and was like, I just threw up and I have to leave.
I just threw up my asthma and I have to go home and get it.
That's like what I did in like third grade.
Yeah,
I truly. Go to the nurse and be like, I threw up.
I should have been more of an adult and given a real excuse, but it's basically like I have diarrhea.
You don't want me around.
We have a friend who like got confronted about it like by his boss. It was like, are your teeth okay? You've had four dental appointments in 3 weeks.
Oh, really?
I'm really worried.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the go-to is the dentist. You can use that once every 6 months.
Yep.
Then you slowly start to realize like people don't really have general doctor's appointments. Like people use that as an excuse, but like when do you just have a doctor's
asthma.
Appointment?
For all you people out there trying to get out of your job, carry around an inhaler.
Oh, that's good.
It's very easy to fake
and if
being
you,
short
it,
of breath.
It's just like you could just put weed in there and have it be a vape.
Yeah.
But like as long as
is
it looks like
jewel?
An inhaler.
So what should this guy do? What are you thinking for this guy? Is it just as simple as leave and
I'd
pursue
say get the
your dream?
Get the Christmas bonus and
get
then
the bonus.
Leave after that. Yeah. And
although if he leaves after,
although,
I guess this is staying.
But the thing is about like writers, like while he's biding his time, like trying to figure out the best time to leave, all of the world is full of people who are not doing anything except for writing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like,
or
you might as well start doing it.
I'd say at the very least, unless this is the easiest job that doesn't require anything, then you could maybe keep it. Because like, it is a pain in the ass finding another job.
Yeah.
You didn't really go into that, but it's like, just make sure that you are spending all of your time outside of work, right?
I think you should leave the job because he said
if he becomes a boss,
Well, he also said that they look at him as the competent one, which means they're going to put more on him when his boss leaves. So he needs to go somewhere where they don't think he's particularly competent, and he just has to pull a lever. He really needs all his mental energy because he's invested enough emotionally in the people at this job to worry about them and like, what happens if I leave? It's like, no, you need to go somewhere where you just care about yourself, because to make it as a comedy writer, you have to be very narcissistic. And it's very important to be very self-involved.
He's got the comedy writer's anxiety, though.
Yes.
Like with all the spying he did on his boss.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
He's definitely overthinking everything.
And also thinking he looks good in a selfie in the bathroom. Like, that's good.
I would quit the day after my boss quit, just so like they get real desperate. Because that's when they're like, please stay. We'll give you several hundred thousands of dollars. We're losing everybody. So that would be my, that's what I would do.
So your advice is to
leverage
insane.
The boss quitting. Mm. Then you quit the very next day and they throw cash at you to stay.
Right. That goes against everything that all of us are saying.
Of course. But this is another option for this guy because
so you're telling him to double down on the corporate job, become the boss.
That's
and then also fuck over the people that he cares about.
Yes.
Making them pay him a lot of cash.
Yes.
Give up on the writing dream.
You do that for 2, 3, maybe 40 years until you retire, and then you could pursue the writing thing.
You read
a
memoir about your insanely boring life that you spent behind a desk.
At least that's what I would do in that situation. All right, let's get another question in about a wingman. Jake, do you have a wingman's name?
Zanzibar.
That's good. Zanzibar, right?
Zanzibar Ralph.
My best friend from high school and I have been living in Manhattan for a year now. I've introduced him to a group of friends from college, and we all get along great. Going out on the weekends is always a ton of fun.
The end.
Do you have any questions for me?
However, he's the world's worst wingman. Whenever we do go out and I'm talking to a girl, he'll always awkwardly try to nudge us together or loudly tell my other friends to look over in my direction. Sometimes he'll try to hit on girls for me in an over-aggressive manner. None of the other friends seem to have a problem with it, but it does make me feel self-conscious and small. I tried talking to him about it, but he just brushes it off, saying that he has, quote, my best interests at heart. He's always given me good advice in other areas before, and I owe him for helping me with my job interview a couple months back. But how do I get him to back off a little in this specific social situation? Toda, thank you. Love, Zanzibar.
Wow. Bad wingman.
Are you guys wingmen ever? Do you guys have good wingmen in your life?
Are you guys single?
We're not single.
No, we're not single.
Cool.
Yeah. We're very boring.
So you must have good wingmen because they both got you girlfriends.
This is interesting. I mean, this is a very complicated question. My instinct is to not go out with him every weekend. My instinct is to sort of try to diversify who you're hanging out with and kind of not really tell him your plans all the time. That can get tricky and that can be – I feel like this guy is – his friend is a little immature, so he might get a little mad about that. But
your advice is to betray his friend.
I think so. Yeah, because there's nothing. I guess for me, the idea of a wingman is a little immature, because when you get older, you kind of just realize that everyone wants to get laid. Like, everyone wants to find someone. Everyone wants to have sex. Like,
you don't need your friend to help you have sex.
You really don't. Like, it's kind of a very immature thing, kind of postured by media, I think, where it's like, everyone's lonely. You know what I mean? Everyone's lonely and horny, like your web series. And so it's like, it's kind of like...
The wingman concept is so bizarre. It's like, no one can help me have sex better than my best friend. Come on, dude. I need you.
Help me have sex. Yeah, if you've already talked to him.
Wingman's not a job. It's not a real job.
Yeah.
It's just a friend.
I'm trying to think if I've ever been a wingman for someone.
Have you ever tried to help?
Oh, I've definitely been a wingman.
What do you do?
Such a douche in my 20s.
What do you do? Like, what would you do?
What's considered a good wingman?
I think sort of sacrificing yourself, because I think if there's a group of girls at a bar and you're with a group of guys, the guy that goes over to talk to them is sort of immediately seen as the biggest asshole. But
it's like a sacrifice. Yeah, kind of like in
you
battle.
You bridge the gap. So, like, you can come over and make fun of me for making a fool of myself. And then, like,
the sorry about him move.
But, I mean, not, like, super aggressive. Like, I go over and I'm, like, spilling a drink on somebody. But, you know, if I, like, say, hey, what are you guys doing here? And people are, like,
and pour a drink on your own head.
Look at what Jakey do.
The perfect wingman.
I feel like then people on like the outskirts of both groups can kind of like intermingle.
I see.
That's interesting. So yeah, I hadn't really thought about it like that. Okay, here's what I think you should do. I think you should tell your friend to let you beat the shit out of him. Like I think he should, like, I think he, you should say, like, okay, go over to this group and be kind of a douche, and then you be the hero and beat the shit out of him in front of these women.
Right.
And then do that a few times and he'll stop wanting to be a wingman.
Because he's the guy that's constantly getting
beat up. It's like, dude, if you really want me to have sex and, you know, feel the joy of ejaculation, then you'll let me beat your cheeks in.
Come on, man.
Are you a good wingman or not?
The joy of ejaculation. Like chicken soup for the soul or something.
Yeah, you have to make being a wingman bad for the guy. He has to make being a wingman like an unpleasant experience.
It's a very selfless job because you are doing the social suffering of trying to break the ice, which is kind of awkward without any of the joy of ejaculation, of course. It's the shame of non-ejaculation.
Yeah.
And then you bring, it's the Robin Hood. You steal the ejaculate from the rich.
The shame of
jealousy. Yeah.
I do think, going back to what Jake was saying, is like everyone is alone. And the more you can not think of this as like a game that people are playing and be straightforward with people about like, hey, I think you look pretty. Don't say that. You know what? Actually, I take all my advice back. But I do think.
But you have a girlfriend.
Yeah, I do have a girlfriend. So,
Did you meet her through a social wingman situation, or was
through
it
through online dating? Actually,
okay. So you don't even need a wingman.
No.
A wingman app would be kind of cool. So it's wingmen, but for online dating. And did you have that idea once, where you like swipe for your friend or something?
Yeah, but I think that's like interesting in theory, but like really, I don't want to spend too much of my time helping you get laid. You know?
Yeah. I think it'd be like a bad wingman.
It would be an underused app. I've wingmunned for you.
No, it's wingmunned.
Yeah.
I've wingmunned for you.
Women Freud?
I've wingmunned for you hard before.
Mm-hmm. Successfully, I might add. Mm.
Do you remember any instances of me being a good wingman, or do you just know me to be a good wingman generally?
Or do you just think I'm a shitty wingman? You just remember the two times I fucked up and you bring it up
every day. I never fucked up.
I can remember several successful wingmanning. It's easier if it's like after a show where like people sort of know who we are already.
Yeah.
It's easier if the wingman is in a relationship and he's wingmanning for someone who's not, because then it's like, I'm out of the running. Right. But, you know, trickle down joy of ejaculation economics. But it is a delicate tightrope of like, you're being obviously a wingman and now it's being like detrimental to me, where it's like you have to like toe the line between being good but not too overboard about it. And I think also
the solution seems to be to have like a conversation with this guy that's not like you're being a bad wingman, but more like, let's not worry about girls tonight. Let's just go out and let's just have fun. Like, let's get drunk and we'll dance.
Being a good wingman is really just like being like kind of a nice, good conversationalist, you know, and hopefully they don't want to sleep with them instead of you.
A non-shy guy. Sort of,
you don't even have to call them a wingman. You could call them human.
You could call them a good Zanzibar person.
This is my human. Go talk to woman.
Yeah. But also in general, I do think when you're that young, because they seem pretty young, like, just know that.
What if we learn they're 47?
You're gonna end up dating so many people. Like, you're gonna end up dating so many people in your life. Everyone dates so many people. You're gonna not remember a lot of them, and it doesn't matter. So just everyone relax. Like, it's just not that big a deal.
Which is our advice for every question. Yeah. Just relax.
Just relax.
It's not that big a deal.
It's really not.
First of all, chill.
Yeah. Second of all, relax. All right, let's take a break. We'll thank some sponsors and then we'll be back. No, we don't have time for this shit.
I just want to point out, I have a quick theory.
Whoa.
That the friend is a fine wingman and this guy can't get laid. Do we think about that?
Oh. Ooh,
we didn't consider it until now.
So let's also just remember that you should be self-reflective.
Yeah.
So that it's not, and if you're not getting laid, it's not entirely on your friend.
Yeah. Have your friend submit a question to this podcast. We want to hear his side of the story.
Yeah.
I'm wingmanning the shit out of my dude.
I'm throwing him alley-oops and he can't slam the ball. All right. Now let's take a break.
All right, fine, sorry.
And then we'll be back with more questions and answers with Jake and Matt and me and Jake. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah. I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah. You put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's betterhelp.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. And we're back. Hey, Jake or Matt, do you guys have any
unsolicited advice?
Mom, I'm coming.
Gross.
Sorry about that.
Yep.
Unsolicited advice.
That was great.
This is extremely small, but I think that people in general don't realize how good grapes are. And
your voice has got small talking about it.
Fresh green grapes for dessert, you'll love it. And you probably haven't done it in a while, and you will love it. It tastes good. It's a very healthy candy. Grapes are nature's candy, and I feel like people are sleeping on grapes, and they're so good.
You ever freeze grapes?
What?
You ever freeze grapes?
Yeah. I love it.
two quick things.
Rebuttal?
Well, I think frozen grapes, like, it makes my skin crawl. I can't eat. I hate cold fruit biting into it.
Wow.
I'm stressed out thinking about it. That said, I have also recently discovered grapes, and I think they're great.
I think they're grapes.
I don't do them for dessert, though. I put them in my salad. I'm a new convert to fruit and salad. I always thought it was bizarre.
Yeah, yeah.
Dried up cranberries in salad sometimes is really good.
Too. What are your thoughts on fruit salad?
Some chicken, some nuts, some grapes, some lettuce. I think that's
I just think the grapes in general, you forget how good they are. They like genuinely taste sweet and they're not that bad for you. It's like it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, when they're super
and also
super
just
crisp.
If you go to a part like if you go to a dinner party like. A bowl of fresh grapes. Just imagine that right now. They're not frozen, so relax.
Yeah.
But you just like you just put them on the table. It's like everyone's finished their dinner, the plates are cleared, and the host comes in and you're like expecting an enormous cake. Like one of the biggest cakes ever. But instead they put a fresh bowl of green grapes and you're like, how sensible. And you love
everybody's it. Pissed except for you.
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
Oh, I was afraid that would be a cake. Thank God it's this small grape.
You're gonna love it. I'm telling you, it's great.
One grape per person.
Everybody take it like a pill.
You're gonna
best party ever.
You're gonna feel better about yourself after.
You definitely it definitely doesn't fill you up in a gross way.
No, but it's delicious.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I hate my pieces of advice now that yours was so cute.
But mine's not cute. Mine is wonderful.
Mine's about shaving your grundle.
With a grape.
All right, I'll give two pieces of advice. The first is...
Just another fruit?
Yeah, eat apples. Honeycrisp apples, if you haven't had them, are delicious.
True.
Open a Roth IRA as soon as possible in your life. As soon as you can afford to put a little money away, open a Roth IRA.
Tell me, I think, I know I do have one, but tell me about why that's good that I did it.
It's good because... Assuming the American economy does not collapse, the stock market generally goes up over time, and so it's good to invest broadly in the stock market. And the Roth IRA is a place where you can put about $5,000 a year, tax-free, and as long as you don't withdraw it until you retire, it's tax-free money that you'll earn. The earlier you do it in your life, the more time it has to mature and grow.
Is it the same as a 401k?
It is very similar. If you have a 401k, that's also good. A Roth IRA is just a like different form of that you can also put money into.
Got it. And you can't access that money unless it's you're like 62 and a half.
You can. There's a penalty. So it's like it's money that you want to be relatively certain that you're good putting away for a while.
Got it.
But it's very good to do it because most people don't and then don't have money when they retire.
That's
or
right.
Just are unable to retire.
Right. Or they spent all their money and now they can't retire.
Yeah. So I'm sorry my piece of advice is really boring, but it is important to do that.
It's more
yeah.
helpful than mine.
It's really perfect.
Sorry, it's not as exciting as grapes.
I would also say spend $5,000 a year on grapes and don't put it in the Roth.
I think it really worked in tandem with grapes.
Yeah.
You have two little nest eggs of sorts. One is filled with fruit.
Like, I'm happy we had you guys on at the same time.
Didn't you say you had another one?
Yeah.
Sure, I'll give one more. This is a little broader.
A little broader than investing broadly.
When I was in college, I applied for a fellowship at The Onion. And at the time, this guy Joe Randazzo was the editor. And I... Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can they hear that on the podcast?
They'll hear it, but faintly.
Okay.
It'll be like a nice warm bath for their ears as somebody drills away next door.
Yeah. Anyway, all that being said is one of the best pieces of advice I ever got early in my life was to work hard and don't expect too much. And my interpretation of that is just focus on doing really good work and don't worry too much about... If you do that, you'll be taken to the right place and don't... Focus on pipe dreams, I guess.
I think I would in tandem with that say keep your eyes on your own paper because there's so much comparing to other people that happens, especially in comedy and entertainment. It's like they got that by this age and you'll get success at whatever age you should. They'll let you know when you're ready. And if you just keep focusing on who you want to be and what you want to say artistically, that's the most important thing. Don't worry what other people are doing because there's a lot of people who are successful at 22 who then at 32 are not successful. Like you just have to go at your own pace and truly don't worry about what other people are doing. Just keep focusing on getting yourself better at what you're doing.
Yeah, because jealousy is poison. And
it's just not going to work. And they have nothing to do with you. It's just what you should be doing for yourself. Yeah.
And before these guys came in, you were like, fuck these guys. They have a show. We should have a show.
Yeah, why does Jake have a show and this Jake doesn't have a show? Is he fun? Funnier? Is he cooler? Is he better? He must be. Otherwise, why would he be succeeding over my Jake? Mine.
Jake.
I just realized for you, I'm so going to start selfless. Showing up and doing the podcast with you. And I'm like, well, my name's Jake. You can't say I'm not the Jake. That it would definitely is your work. Jake.
Were you guys as into that philosophy even before you had a show? Is it easier to say now that you do have a show?
I think we talked about it a lot before. I think we were. It's obviously hard when you're starting out and you see the other people doing way better than you to not feel jealous. But it's really poisonous to focus too much on that and really toxic for your own like mind and soul. And
I think also Missy Elliott once tweeted this because – and I love Missy. And she said something like – you know, her music is so incredible, but it was very different. And she said sometimes if you have like a different way of seeing things or doing things, it takes longer for you to hit because people already see the world in a certain way and so they will reject what's different. Mm. But then if you just wait a little longer, it works out. And it obviously worked out for her. And I think for me – there was not much on TV where I was like, oh my God, I wish I'd done that. I was always like, I want to make my own thing. And sometimes if you don't see your own thing on TV, that's actually a blessing because that means if you have an original point of view, if you feel you do, eventually they're going to want that. And it may seem stressful that it's not there already, but really it's working in your favor. And you just kind of have to have faith.
So what's the origin story of Corporate? For those of you who don't know, mm-hmm. It's a show on Comedy Central. It's like an incredibly dark comedy mm-hmm. on Comedy Central. First season came out a year or two ago.
A year ago, yeah.
And then the second season is coming out in January of this year. That's 2019. Like, when did the ideas of Corporate start? How long did it take to go from
15?
Yeah.
So 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's one season.
Yes. That's right.
Until 2019.
And you better like the idea you come up with because it'll be your whole life.
Yeah.
That is what people don't understand. Don't just throw up any idea. Like, you better love it because it is everything you talk about. You don't talk to your family anymore.
Your relationships will suffer as a result of this.
You'll definitely get divorced. Yeah. So, like, definitely love the idea that you come up with.
And what's the origin of the idea? How did you sell it? Other than, like, Dilbert meets American Psycho.
We were living together. We were roommates for a while. And I had, as I said, like a ton of nightmare office jobs. And we started talking about those jobs and we wanted to sort of tackle or make an office comedy that was a little more representative of how you actually feel at an office, which is like you want to die and trapped and like it's a prison.
Right. Like the office maid living in Scranton selling paper, kind of cute.
It's like fun. You have a family and oh, good news, you have a crush.
Occasionally dull, but no one's killing themselves.
Yeah. Whereas I felt like I was trapped and in hell the whole time. And so we wanted to do like a really cinematic kind of wild comedy set in an office.
I think we also just really love movies. And I think there's a lot of comedy that's sort of that's just regurgitating, not necessarily in a bad way, but just kind of doing the kind of comedy they saw before. Where I really just love movies growing up, and I wanted to make movies that were funny.
Right.
Like, instead of funny movies, if that makes sense. Like, just like really movies, but that have a lot of jokes.
Yeah. And I mean, Corporate, their episodes, they look like movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. We care about that. We hired like a DP who's really French. And, we just wanted to make it look like, almost make it look like the opposite of an office comedy. Because we just, that's sort of what I'm saying is we saw, like, when you look at the landscape of, like, office comedies or comedies, there's a lot of, like, there's very flat lighting, and it's fine. It's really funny. Like, Parks and Rec, The Office, these are great shows, but they look a certain way. It's like, well, because that's out there, they might actually be hungry for something completely different looking that's in the same world. So it was, like, a good thing that those shows existed.
We also just wanted to make a show where we could sort of talk about anything. We have pretty nihilistic views on America and capitalism, and
turns out it's bad.
Yeah, we wanted to be able to talk about that stuff.
It does definitely, like, it was completely aligned up with my values, so I find it, like, so funny and so dark, and, like, the way you guys push the envelope is so, like, hilarious.
Thank you very much.
I saw the episode of, there's, like, a mass tragedy or mass shooting. Do you specify?
Purposely keep it vague. It's a nameless tragedy, so that way, whatever happens the day before it airs, it can still go up.
So there's a tragedy, and there's a death toll that's going up throughout the episode, and it's about Matt's Facebook status post that gets stolen and hijacked and becomes viral without you getting credit for it.
Yeah, it's about like people being self-interested in the face of something they should not be self-interested in.
Yes, exactly right.
Everyone rushes to post to social media and they do check how many likes it gets, yes, even though people are dying.
Yeah.
And that's just what America is right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. Again, January 15th?
January 15th, yes.
Season 2.
Yeah.
Co-starring Adam Lustig.
The best.
Another
the most talented, genius, funniest man ever.
Yeah. He's great in the show, too. It's because he always plays a happy-go-lucky guy.
I know, and we make him so mean.
And yeah. Lance Reddick from The Wire and Aparna Nancherla.
That's right.
And yeah. Udek, yeah. Yeah.
Lance Reddick from The Wire, that's so fucking cool.
Oh, he's so awesome. And he is the complete opposite of every character he's ever played. He's like the sweetest grandfather.
I guess everybody on the show plays a depressed, dark person. And then you guys are also very sweet. IRL.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is the set like dark and sad just by accident?
The irony of shooting the show is that we escaped our boring office jobs only to go make a show in the setting of a boring office job, and it feels bad.
Yeah, you feel you die while you're filming a little bit.
Like when you guys break for lunch, it's still under the harsh fluorescent lights.
Yeah, it's really bad. Yeah, it's a really bad filming situation, but it makes it look good, so it's worth it.
You shoot it practically, right? Like it's a real office.
Yes, the old LA Times building, but media's dead. So the set is open.
We toured that one time when we were looking for sets.
It's a great looking place.
That's where they filmed Mad Men, right?
Yes.
No, they filmed that at LA Center Studios.
That's right. My bad. Yeah.
But
I was going to say yes to whatever you asked. Yes.
That's where they shot Simpsons, right? All right. Can we answer another question before you guys have to get the hell out of here?
Yeah.
This one is about another office party, but, you know, 'tis the season, work holiday party. Matt, back to you. Need a fake dude's – oh, fake lady's name.
Linda.
That's great. That's the perfect name. Yeah.
When you changed it from dude to lady, I saw the panic in his eyes when he knew he couldn't say Ralph again.
Ralph's cousin, Linda. I just started a new job at a really cool marketing agency. You like that? There's
really
only
cool.
It's not like the other marketing agencies.
How cool, yeah.
There's only about 20 employees, and I kid you not, I am the only one without a significant other. So the holiday party is coming up, and everyone's bringing a date. And let me know that I can bring one, too.
Hire a prostitute.
Good night, everybody. This is Lightning Round credits.
Let's roll through all the questions that you're supposed to just hire a prostitute for.
I'm looking to lose my virginity, but yeah, it works. All right, how do I get a date for this thing? Linda writes, I could ask this dude from my kickball league, but I don't know him that well, and I'm just assuming he's into me because he likes to text me a lot of memes and GIFs. But if I'm wrong and he actually just thinks of me as a friend, then it would be really awkward. Or should I seek out a date on Hinge or Bumble? I don't want to show up solo to this gig and feel like I'm a total loser. Help! Thanks, Linda.
I actually completely disagree with Linda. One, I think you should not bring a date to this. Especially
solo.
If you're going to bring a first date to an office party, that is, in my mind, a nightmare.
Definitely not from Hinge, not from Bumble.
Yeah.
For the love of God, don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say,
if anything, bring like just a friend.
Well, and also, the kickball guy obviously likes you. I mean, there's no question about that. So if you think he likes you and he's sending you memes, that just means please have sex with me.
Maybe it's just a guy on my kickball team that likes sending gifts.
Yeah. But I think also if it doesn't go that well, you kind of have to leave the kickball team. Like, so I wouldn't necessarily do that unless you don't care and are done with kickball.
I mean, you can invite him as a friend and then you guys will probably end up getting drunk and having sex.
Yeah,
like,
probably.
I think that'll happen. Mm-hmm.
You could take me. I mean,
oh,
a relationship, but I would do it. Like, I won't put out Linda.
No.
But what I'm saying is I would do it for the bit. And I would be really weird. Like, it would be funny in a weird bit that I would do.
That's cool. Corporate's own Jake Wiseman.
Yeah, I think it'd be funny.
Here.
It'd be worth it. It's like when Dwayne Wade goes to prom with some girl.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's
just the worst
Twitter.
Version of that ever.
God damn, do I want this to happen?
Yeah.
Really, this episode's coming out soon, right? Hopefully before the Christmas party.
The worst version of Dwayne Wade showing up to prom is Jake going
go to
a holiday
prom?
Party.
It's like, oh, a show I haven't watched yet, but was meaning to get to.
Jake would say some inappropriate things. You would be in trouble with your...
I would just talk to your coworkers about how the government is wrong. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Why don't you just go alone? I guarantee someone else will hit on you. Like, someone's going to hit on you.
Someone's significant other's going to hit on you.
Yeah, it'll be interesting and weird. And, like, if you don't get too drunk, I'm sure someone will make a mistake, and you can use that to get ahead in the company. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it'll be fine.
I think you can bring a friend. I like the idea of bringing a friend. Either somebody that you can fuck or just, like, somebody that you are not sexually interested in that you want to get drunk with.
Yeah.
Because office parties are great for that.
Yeah.
Free booze. Is there such a thing as a cool marketing agency? You worked at a marketing agency. Are there cool ones and bad ones, or are they all the same ones?
I think there are probably cool ones and bad ones. I only worked for the bad ones.
So the cool one is anyone you didn't work.
Marketing is strange because you're essentially you work with other people to try to manipulate people. That's like the whole job is like, how can I manipulate other people? So it feels dirty and fucked up.
I think it just depends on the clients. I mean, because I feel like if you get to market for the MBA or you get to market for like a brand you like, the perks are crazy. Like, I mean, if you get to like market for Nike, it's like you get to destroy kids' lives that live in other countries and you get to go to cool games. You know what I mean? And that's like an amazing sort of situation. And I think like, I think it just depends because marketing... Yeah, it is brainwashing, but that's fun.
Yeah,
like that is like a fun thing. Yeah, if you're
when you're the one holding the little emblem on the chain, you're.
But if you market for like Beats by Dre, it's like you get to meet a lot of cool people and you get to make a lot of people happy. And I think they probably.
This episode is sponsored by Beats by Dre.
Yeah.
By the chandelier store you used to work at.
Yeah, but I mean, it truly just depends what the perks are because you are like You're grifting people out of money.
Right. Well, they're like the small agencies that do like that kind of cool like guerrilla marketing
that
stuff.
Seems cool. Yeah.
I like a good guerrilla marketer.
Yeah. You don't even have to have a boss. Just get out there. Start marketing.
It's just frenzy.
That's what marketing is. It's disruptive. Use this hashtag.
That's so fucking guerrilla. All right. Sweet. That's it. That's our time.
Thanks,
three
guys.
Questions.
Well, damn.
Great job, everybody. Anything else you wanted to promote, or is corporate the big boy?
Just corporate, January 15th at 10:30 p.m. on Comedy Central. It comes after Drunk History. The premiere of that new season is at 10 p.m. But yeah, I think you'll really love the new season. No, our show is at 10:30.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Drunk History is at 10. If you want to have an hour of being high and watching TV.
And hey, follow us on Instagram.
Are you still doing that knife in your Instagram?
I actually stopped
thing?
That. I have a new parody account I do with my friend Kate Tulin called Honest Couple, which if you want to check it out, is a parody account. You can check it out for yourself.
And follow me at Matt Ingebretson. I'm posting some really fun photos.
There are a lot of shots of him too tall for airplane bathrooms.
Yeah, I'm going to check almost that out. All that,
yeah. That's solid. All right. The opening theme song was written by Rob, of course. This closing one is Kendrick from New Orleans. They can follow him at The Other Kendrick on Instagram. And thanks
That's
for
solid.
Writing in.
That's a good Instagram handle.
The Other Kendrick. Email address for all that stuff is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Jake and Matt, thanks again.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week. Bye. Head.
I need some head gum. Yes, dude.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live and we'll see you there.
All right. Bye.